Next presenter is Lucas Franca. We can talk about crop safety, weed control, following back Canva, and acidic water applications and extended foot stock.
Good morning. My name is Lucas Franca. I'm a PhD student at Mississippi State under Dr. Darren Dodds, and I'll be talking about research we conducted this past summer looking at crop safety and weed control following dicamba and acetochlor applications in extensile Lascott. According to the USDA report of December last year, it is estimated that 3.47 million hectares were planted and 3.26 million hectares were harvested with cotton in the United States in 2016. With an average yield of 900 kilograms per hectare, and 98.7% of all the upland cotton was composed of genetically engineered varieties, or GMO varieties. In Mississippi, we had 182,000 hectares planted, and 19.5% of the area was planted with Delta Pine 1522. Palmer is still our continuous problem in the Mid-South. It was first reported resistance to glyphosate in 2005, and up to this day, it has evolved resistance to 6 different herbicide site of actions, and is considered to be a problem in at least 24 states. Tallwater hemp also had its glyphosate resistance reported in 2005. It's more like of a troublesome weed in many Midwestern states, and also has evolved resistance to 6 herbicide site of actions. Some of the most remarkable physiological characteristics of these two species is a prolific seed production, extensive root system that favors adaptation, and a high rate of carbon fixation. The Monsanto Xtend Flex technology appears as an alternative for glyphosate, glufosinate, and dicamba tolerance. The dicamba tolerance gene, or DMO gene, how it's called, was isolated from Stenotrophomonas maltophilia bacteria, and this gene works, it encodes a monooxygenase protein, which confers tolerance to dicamba, converting dicamba into 3,6-dichlorosalicylic acid. The glufosinate tolerance is provided by a PAT gene from the Streptomyces viridochromogenes. This PAT gene encodes a phosphoinitrosine and acetyltransferase protein, or PAT protein, that confers the resistance to glufosinate ammonium. The newest technology coming out, is actually coming out this year, is the Extending Max herbicide with vapor grip technology. That contains additive for volatility reduction. The EPA has conceded approval and is now on state approval, and this technology will come along with restrictions for applications such as nowhere craft application, max wind speed of 15 mile an hour, application only with approved nozzles at specified pressures, and buffer zones to protect sensitive areas. Nevertheless, history has shown that herbicide programs that rely on a single herbicide molecule greatly increase the selection pressure for resistance populations. So the use of pre and post herbicides combined is recommended. With that being said, the objective of this research was to evaluate the efficacy of acetochlor, diglycolamine salt of dicamba, which is Extending Max, with vapor grip, and the glycolamine salt of dicamba plus glyphosate applied pre and post for palmer and tall water hemp control, and also evaluate the level of herbicide injury in extended flex cotton. So we had 3 experimental locations. Dundee and Stoneville, Mississippi were used for palmer amaranth, and Starkville was used for tall water hemp. Plot dimensions were 3.9 meters by wide by 9.1 meters long, with 4 rows and 4 replications. The variety planted was Delta Pine 1522, and we had 3 application timings: pre, right following planting, 3 to 4 leaf cotton, or an early post application about 2 to 3 weeks following the pre-application, depending on the growth, and 6 to 8 leaf cotton, again following 2 to 3 weeks after the early post application. So I know there's a lot of information on this table. I'm going to take a moment to explain you how the treatments were set up. So every treatment had dicamba pre-applied, followed by two applications of dicamba plus glyphosate, early and mid-post. What changes is the addition of acetochlor. Some treatments had acetochlor pre, some only post, and one treatment, the one down at the bottom, didn't have any acetochlor added. The application equipment used was a TO2 powered backpack sprayer. Spray volume used 140 liters per hectare. Data was collected weekly with visual control and copper entry at 7, 14, 21, and 28 days after treatment. Seed cotton EU was obtained from every plot too, and the experimental design was a randomized complete block design. Data was subjected to analysis of variance and means separated using Fisher's protected LSD at an alpha of 0.5. So getting to the results, so I'm going to start with Palmer, and all the data for Palmer was pulled across Dundee and Stoneville location. I'm going to take a moment to explain this graph for you because the following graphs are going to follow the same scheme. So on the y-axis we have visual control, and on the x-axis all the treatments. So you guys are facing me. So starting on the right to the left, the three first treatments right here, they had dicamba plus acetochlor pre. The following three going towards the left only had acetochlor added post, and the one on the far left only didn't have any acetochlor added to our base treatment. So at this point, at B application or early post application, what we're looking at is the effect of the pre-herbicides applied. And as we can see, the treatments that had dicamba plus acetochlor were generally greater than the treatments that didn't have acetochlor added to the dicamba applied pretty, as you guys can see. Picture is kind of small, but we can see some few scapes on the picture on the right. That's the one without acetochlor added. At C application or mid-post application, again, we expected to see a better control of dicamba plus acetochlor. And as we can see, two treatments that had dicamba plus acetochlor were significantly greater than most of the other treatments that only had dicamba applied pre. 7 days after our mid-post application, we didn't see big differences. We saw that dicamba pre followed by dicamba glyphosate and acetochlor twice applied early and mid-post was a little bit lower compared to the other treatments, but again, all treatments were like above 90% control for Palmer or Waterham. At 14 days after our mid-post application, we did observe that the treatment that didn't have any acetochlor was significantly lower compared to all the other treatments that had acetochlor added. The same we can see on the picture on the left, on your left, that we can see a few scapes here. It's kind of hard to see, the screen is not too big, but the same thing persisted at 28 days after C application or mid-post application. And I would like to mention that at this point, the treatment that only had one application of acetochlor pre showed that acetochlor is already breaking down, so there's a little bit of a new flush coming up. I'm going to get ahead a little bit for tall water hemp. We did not observe any statistical differences at B or early post, mid post, and 7 days after our mid post application. So I'm going to highlight the differences. So at 14 days after our mid post application, we did observe that the treatment that didn't have any acetochlor added was significantly lower compared to the other treatments with acetochlor. As we can see on the picture on the left, we can see that the weed pressure was pretty high, and between the rows, we can see that there's quite a bit of tall water hemp coming up. At 20 days after our mid-post application, the same thing persisted with the treatment with no acetylcholine, having the lower control, and treatments that had acetylcholine pre and mid-post having the greater control in this particular situation. And at 20 days after C, same thing, the treatment that didn't have any acetylcholine had the lowest control for tall water hemp. Crop injury in Starkville, crop injury data was only collected in Starkville. We only observed crop injury at mid-post and 7 days after mid-post application. Prior to that point, no crop injury was recorded, reported, and at 14, 21, and 20 days, 28 days after mid-post application, we did not observe any crop injury. So apparently, the cotton recovered pretty fast from that injury caused by acetylcholine. And the injury was caused, was greater in treatments that had two applications of acetylcholine, especially post-applied. Seed cotton yield, our top yielding treatment was the dicamba plus acetylcholine applied pre, followed by the dicamba, glyphosate, and acetylcholine, followed by dicamba plus glyphosate. However, this treatment was not statistically different from this one right here that had, again, two applications of dicamba and acetylcholine. This one that had two post applications of acetylcholine, and the one that did not have any acetylcholine. Getting to the conclusions, we were able to conclude that acetylcholine plus dicamba applied pre significantly increased Palmer amaranth control compared to dicamba only. Similar results were observed by Cahoon et al. In 2015 with a greater control of Palmer amaranth when acetylcholine was added. The use of acetylcholine pre and or in early post in combination with dicamba plus glyphosate significantly increased Palmer amaranth control by 10% at mid-post application, and acetylcholine contributed for greater Palmer control at 14 days after our mid-post application, regardless of application timing. So we can see that addition of acetylcholine extended Palmer control a little bit longer compared to treatments that didn't have acetylcholine added pre. And early and mid-post applications of acetylcholine provided greater Palmer amaranth control at 28 days after mid-post application. Like I just said, it extended the control margin a little bit. Acetylcholine plus dicamba pre and dicamba pre did not significantly differ in respect to tall water hemp control prior to 14 days after mid-post application. That's why I started showing the data at 14 days after. And treatments that did not receive acetylcholine pre had less tall water hemp control at 28 days and 21 and 28 days after C. And to summarize, treatments that only had dicamba pre and no treatment that didn't have any acetylcholine added had 8% and 11% less tall water hemp control at 21 and 28 days after mid-post application. Injury was lower on treatments with one acetylcholine application. However, at 14 days, we did not observe any injury. And dicamba plus acetylcholine, followed by dicamba, glyphosate, and acetylcholine, early post had the greatest cotton seedling yield. And we can conclude that acetylcholine significantly contributed for increased Palmer amaranth and tall water hemp control. One of the implications of this research is that acetylcholine pre, early or mid-post applying combination with dicamba and dicamba plus glyphosate is recommended for maximizing yield, Palmer amaranth, and tall water hemp control, as well as soil seed bank management and depletion. That's the literature used for this report. I'd like to acknowledge this, my advisor, Dr. Darren Dawes, Dr. Ben Reynolds, Jason Bond, Dr. Anthony Mills, fellow grad students and student workers. With that being said, I'll take any questions. Yeah, that's So the question is, can I go back to the slide? So the question is to whether I attribute the lowest yield in this case to its competition or to herbicide injury. Personally, I think it's a mixture of both, but the fact that the herbicide injury was, it showed up so fast, I don't think that would be enough to actually decrease yield in that case. So I would think that the competition with the Palmer and tall water hemp would be the most limiting factor in this case.
Right. I appreciate it, Lucas. Thank you.